Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I've already said. Now, I hope the sound man is going to be managing that little level as much as he can, because I ain't no quiet preacher. We talk about old fashioned day. I'm believing old fashioned.
Sir.
Preaching, amen.
Sir.
No, I'm good.
You don't
I won't let you trust me. You'll find out.
You've heard me preach before.
It's been too long. Wow. It's been too long. I preached for David before, but he just don't seem to remember. So he'll get a good refresher course this morning.
Come on, brother. I'm ready.
I mean, I sat under old preachers. Some of you probably don't know these names, but preachers like Jerry Harris and Amos England, Oliver England, Billy Durham, Freddie Melton. And man, when I was growing up, Dad, being a pastor and being a preacher, he would evangelize different places. He would be called to go preach different places. Amen. And me being a little kid there, me and my sister, we'd just trail right behind. We'd have to go sing at revivals. We'd go sing at homecomings. And when we'd go there, there'd be all kinds of preachers there and all kinds of men of God. And I grew up listening to all them folks. And back in 2007, the Lord put it on my heart, and He just bore on me that I had to be a preacher too. I mean, I wasn't raised as a preacher. I wasn't called into it by my daddy or by my grandpa or anybody like that. God called me to preach. Amen. I have no doubt about that in my mind. Amen. God gave me different confirmations and gave me different things to let me know that, yes, I've called you to preach and you better stand. I wasn't like some of those people that talk about how they run from the Lord for so many years. Amen. My problem was I wanted to make sure. Amen. I didn't want to get up there on my own and begin to feel like I've got to come up with a message all by myself. And I remember my first message, I was scared to death. Amen. Sometimes I still get scared to death up behind the pulpit. But amen, over the years the Lord has been gracious to me and helped me to be understand. Amen. That He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Amen. He's always with me. But my first message, I began to think in my heart that this message probably won't last 5 minutes. I was so nervous. 45 minutes later, I got done with my message. And I remember to this day, amen, the first message I ever preached was about Peter stepping out of the boat. And when he went down, he began to say, "Lord, save me." Amen. It didn't take no big prayer for God to get his attention. Amen. For him to get God's and Jesus' attention. All he had to do was say, "Lord, save me." Amen. Acknowledge that Jesus Christ was Savior and Lord. Amen. And that's all it took for Peter, amen, to be delivered by the Lord right there. Amen. But I'm glad today that the Lord still saves old sinners. I'm glad we had old-fashioned day today. In this modern world we're living in, it's easy to lose sight of the old-fashioned things. Amen. Of the things that God has ordained from the beginning of the world. The world seems to have just passed them on by and left them by the wayside. But God believes in old-fashioned things. God says, "I'm the Lord God. I change not."
Amen.
He said, "Jesus Christ today, yesterday, and forever." Amen. He doesn't change. He stays the same. I'm glad we can count on the Savior this morning to stay the same. We don't have to worry about a wishy-washy Savior today who decides, well, they're saved today and they're not saved tomorrow. I'm glad, amen, that salvation, amen, is for everybody. Man, woman, boy, girl. And yes, there's still a difference between those things. Amen. The day we're living today. Amen. I believe in a good old-fashioned salvation today. Just like the song says.
Come on.
Amen.
Glad to have old-fashioned day. Me and in the Sunday school back there, we got to talk about how wonderful it is to have indoor plumbing and not have to go to the outhouse and have that good air conditioner. How many was glad when we got back in off those stairs to come back in this air conditioner? Amen. I know I was.
Yeah.
I thank God for things like that. Things like that ain't nothing wrong with. Amen. And then we start putting things before God and we start forgetting God, leaving God out of things.
Right.
There's so many churches in the world today that have left God out. They've just got a name over the door and they don't have God in it. Amen. It takes God to make the church.
Amen.
Amen.
That was all free. We'll get in the message now.
Come on.
Didn't cost you nothing. Amen. I'm glad the liberty that the Lord has given. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen.
Yes.
Glad for the liberty today.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a scripture the Lord just gave me about 5 minutes ago sitting there on that bench. He gave me some earlier, and I didn't know where to start. I wouldn't settle on it. My wife kept asking me, "Have you got a message? Are you settled on a message?" No, not really. Amen. I'm not one of these that go and pre-plan messages and things like that. I don't work that way. The Lord hasn't blessed me with that ability. I have to wait on the Lord, and I have to seek the Lord through the week and search His Word and ask Him what He wants me to preach. And then He lays a thought on my heart, and that begins to grow and sprout up. So God finally gave me a message here, the beginning of it here in 1 Samuel chapter 8. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8. I'd like to say again, I really appreciate the invitation. Appreciate Brother David getting in touch with me. It's been a while since I got to hear from him. Years have kind of passed by, but I'm glad he's got back in touch with me and been able to come here to Old Fashioned Day and celebrate the Old Fashioned Way and a homecoming here. I was looking at some of the pictures out there on the door of the pastors. Begin to look at them and how old this church is. You had it back here on the screen, how old this church is. It was about the early 1900s, I believe, was that first pastor that was mentioned. And I got to noticing there's a few preachers that was smiling, there's a few preachers that wasn't smiling. Brother David was kind of halfway in between. I was laughing about that. But 1 Samuel chapter 8, and it says, "And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I have brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of a king that shall reign unto them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them ear to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and his instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olivers and even the best of them and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodless young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. You may be seated. The thought that I have on my heart today, that the Lord has given me, is looking for the king.
Amen.
Looking for the king. Now, we just read here Israel was utterly obsessed with the nations that were about them. They was always that way. They were always seeking other things and better means. And when God would provide for them, they'd not be satisfied with that. They'd murmur, complain, and they'd turn back toward Egypt and begin to talk about the things that they used to have and add the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the things that used to be. And even as God was bringing them through the wilderness and through the Red Sea, they were worried about what they left behind.
Amen.
Amen. It was kind of like a Lot's wife. And when she turned back and looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, she turned into a pit of salt.
Right.
And these Israelites here were looking for a king. Amen. They were looking for a king to rule over them, just like the other nations. They wanted to be like the other nations, and they didn't want to have anything to do with God. And Samuel was displeased with this, even though his sons had a portion in it. Amen. The sons said that they were old, and they had begun to take bribes and take lucre, in other words, filthy lucre and money and things like that, instead of serving the house of God like they should. They begin to take these things and pervert the judgment and the priesthood of God. And so we see that that was one of the causes of this. And they saw Samuel as a leader that was too old, and they wanted him out and wanted a king to set in his place. And Samuel was displeased with this. He began to talk to the Lord about it, and God said, don't worry about it. They've not rejected you, they've rejected me.
Amen.
They rejected me. And so God told him to tell the words of the people what the king would do. And I want you to notice just about every verse there. I didn't notice this until now. Like I said, I hadn't had time to read it because God just gave it to me just a few minutes ago. But every verse seemed like it said, and he shall take, and he shall take, and he shall take, and he shall take, about seven times or more. It began to say that the king was going to take from them. Nevertheless, they didn't worry about that. They said, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Amen? How many people know today that people are just like that today? Regardless of the consequences, amen, they want to have things their way.
Amen.
Amen. In Judges, it talks about, before this, in Judges it talks about, because there was no king in the land, the people did whatever was right in their own heart.
Yep.
Amen. But God said in Jeremiah, I believe it was, that the heart is desperately wicked. Amen. And who can know it? Amen. It's above all evil. The heart is also always seeking for evil and things of mischief. And so these men in their heart, they wanted a king to be over them, not because they wanted to be ruled, but because they wanted probably a little bit more leeway than Samuel was giving them. They wanted to be like all the nations, that the king may judge them and go out before us and fight our battles. And God said, Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. Samuel said to the men of Israel, go ye every man to his city. Now we know what happened after that. First king they got was from the tribe of Benjamin. His name was Saul. He became a wicked king.
Right.
And it was many years after that, they began to see what Saul was taking from them. Taking their sons and their daughters to be cooks and to be slaves and to be instruments of war and soldiers and things like that. Instead of giving, it was taken away. It was something that would take away. And they had no problem with that. You know, we talk about old-fashioned day. Jeremiah 6:16, I believe it is, talks about walking in the old path. Walk ye in the old path. Yeah. And look and see, and you shall find rest unto your souls. But what did they say? We will not walk therein. We ain't going to do it. We're going to be rebellious against the Lord. We find that today. No matter how many times you try to tell about the Word of God, you try to tell what sin is and point blank what it is, people are still going to do what they want to do.
Amen.
That's why they still keep trying to overthrow good laws and pass bad laws.
Amen.
They're going to do what they want to do.
Amen.
In so much that over in Romans chapter 1, it talks about God giving them over to a reprobate mind. That's a serious thing.
It is.
That's a serious thing. But the message is looking for the king. And I had some other scripture here. We're going to go over to that. And I never thought to lead with what I just led with, but the Lord gave it to me to kind of set things up here a little bit. If you go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to be talking about another king. I mean, this is an evil king, a bad king, a king that they wanted to establish for themselves. But we're going about to look at another king here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's start at about verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. You sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him.
Amen.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Just about everybody in this house probably knows that scripture. That's talking about the occurrence which the church knows today as the rapture. Now, I know the word rapture is not in there, but that's taken from, I think, the Greek Septuagint, maybe. Where it talks about the word that's used there is raptura, sometimes harpazo, which means a snatching or a catching away.
Amen.
Just like if you was to take a harpoon and you was to shoot it into a prey and it would snatch them, it's going to be caught and jerked back and caught away, and that's the rapture of the church.
Amen.
And I tell you what, we're still looking forward to that. Amen. Remember, I was talking about looking for the King. Amen. This is the King we want to be looking for. Amen. Not just any old king like they wanted in Israel. Amen. Not just any old president. Not just any old ruler. Amen. There's a King coming, and His name is King of Kings.
Amen.
And Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Revelation talks about how He has a vesture dipped in blood, and on His name was written a King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Right. Yes.
That's Jesus.
Yep. Amen.
Jesus here said that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which all sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That means take Him up in the resurrection as well. Amen. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. He was rose from the dead. And everything after that, He said, if we believe that Jesus died, amen, that same Spirit, amen, that dwelled in Him and that He sent to us is going to quicken these mortal bodies. You'll find that over in 1 Corinthians 15, all about the resurrection, and be able to bring us out of the graves with Jesus.
Amen.
God will bring with Him.
Yes.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. In other words, this is the authority that this comes from. Paul sometimes would say, the Lord says this, or I say this. He said, this is coming straight from the Lord.
Amen.
That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Those that are asleep in Christ, I've always said that the dead in Christ shall rise first. If I go before yuns do, I'll get to see Him first.
Amen.
Amen. There's a privilege that comes with the death in the Lord.
It is.
And we're not going to precede them or prevent them which have already gone on. His brother was talking about a dear old lady that helped him memorize Scripture. Amen. It passed on to her reward. And when Jesus comes back and splits the sky wide open, comes back on the cloud, amen, she's going to be one of the first to see Him. Amen.
Yes.
And it said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I like this part. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Won't have to worry about the devil coming after us.
Right.
Where we're going, he can't go there, friends.
Amen.
He's not allowed. Amen. He was kicked out many years ago. And God's going to recreate the whole thing and make a whole new heaven.
Yes.
And a whole new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Sin will not be welcome in that place. It'll not be there, folks. It won't be
Amen.
No more funeral homes. All the funeral homes will go out of business. Amen. I'll be looking forward to that day. I was telling my wife not too long ago, I tell you what, it seems like I've been to so many funerals in my life as a preacher kid, like I was telling you. Every time a funeral would happen, I'd have to go, amen, to the funeral home with Dad. And I've seen so many people have to pass through this life. I'm looking forward not having to go to another funeral
Amen.
Home.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm looking for a King.
Yes.
Looking for the King.
Yes.
I'm looking for Him, Brother David. I am looking for the King. I want to give you an example of a blessing that comes with somebody looking. In 2 Kings chapter 2, very familiar scripture, very familiar story. Elijah had basically apprenticed Elisha. And he was walking with him on his journey, and they crossed over the Jordan River and began to walk with him. And he said, not too long from now, I'm going to be taken away from you. And Elisha was kind of heartbroken. He didn't want to. He had just basically started his missionary journey with Elijah. And he began to talk to him. He said in verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 2, he said, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters when they was going over Jordan. And the waters were divided hither and thither, so they too went over on dry ground. Came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Here recently, the Lord gave me a message out of the book of Daniel, where it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar asking the people to interpret his dream. Not only do that, but to tell him what the dream was. And the counselors there and the astrologers and all the magicians said, King, you've asked a rare thing. And I preached on how many knows that God is a God of rare things. Amen?
Yes.
And it says here, Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. He asked for a double portion. Now you dig a little deeper into the double portion, especially in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17. That's the portion of the firstborn. that came with a double portion, because the firstborn was basically the one who was supposed to take over when the father had died. He was needing more of the resources, so he would get a double amount.
Yes.
And Elisha says, basically, I wrote my margin here, Elisha is basically a godson to Elijah. He says, I'm your son in the faith. Give me the right of the firstborn. Give me that double portion. He said, if you're there, if you see me when I'm taken, it shall be, but if not, it shall not be so. There was a condition there. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. But then, it says, he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He wanted to see if he received that double portion.
Yeah.
He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Amen. Elijah said, if you see me when I go away, the blessing is yours. The double portion is yours. I believe it's going to be kind of that way too when Jesus returns. If you're looking for Him, the blessing is yours.
That's good.
If you're looking for Him, eternal life will be yours.
Amen.
See, as long as we're here on this old earth, we are subject to these old fleshly bodies.
Right.
One of these days, after a while, we'll either go by the grave or we'll go by the rapture, but this body's got to be either put off or changed.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15, the later verses of that talks about in the moment, in a twinkle of an eye, we'll all be changed. Amen. Translated, just like Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's a picture of what our bodies will do.
Glorious.
We'll have our glorified bodies. I'm looking for the King to come deliver my glorified body to me one day after a while. And if you're looking for Him, and I hope you are, you'll receive.
Yes.
Amen. If you're saved, you're looking for Him. And if you're looking for Him, you'll receive the reward. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, a lot of times we emphasize a particular verse here in Hebrews chapter 9. The very last couple of verses, it says, as appointed unto man wants to die, but after this the judgment. A lot of people stop right there. But that's not what the pastor is emphasizing. Yes, we're going to die. Yes, there's a judgment. But that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is the next verse. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Basically, He's saying there's hope.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people like to leave it hopeless. There's death, and then you're going to face a judgment. But the hope there is that Christ will come a second time and receive you unto Himself. He says, them that look for Him, them that look for Him shall He appear a second time without sin unto salvation. Christ will bring salvation with Him in the form of the resurrection, in the form of deliverance from death. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
Amen. The devil lost the keys to the house many, many years ago, some 2,000 plus years ago. Jesus went to the heart of the earth and took the keys of death and hell, and now He's got them at the right hand of the Father, and He controls every bit of that.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad the power was taken from the devil.
Yes.
The power was taken from the devil, and we can trust the Lord for our eternal salvation for our lives. As we trust Him, He begins to lead us to the way to heaven, begins to work in our lives and helps us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. In Acts chapter 2, actually chapter 1 here, I found this very interesting where it says, you know, Jesus had went out to Jerusalem, told them to meet them there. And as he began to give them the great commission about going out to Jerusalem and Samaria and all the other parts of the world. He began to say, start at home and then spread out. We find that happening as we go through Acts chapter 8. We find that Paul is causing havoc in the church, and that begins to spread out. They begin to spread out and scatter among through Samaria. So it started in Jerusalem, went to Samaria, and then from there we find all the different missionary journeys throughout all the rest of the world. But as he was there, as he was going up to heaven, it said, when he spoke in these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now notice, we just read from the Thessalonians that we'll be meeting him in the clouds. It says here that a cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, I told my dad the other day, I said, have you ever noticed this? I always thought the two men there was up there with Jesus. And as Jesus was going up, they were talking down to the apostles there. Kind of like when the shepherds heard about Jesus being born, all the angels was out in the atmosphere talking to them about it. But no, it said these two men, these are the same two men, I believe, that was at the resurrection tomb. Amen. When the stone was rolled away, there was two men there. And I, these are all throughout Scripture, these two men here, who are angels of God that stood in white apparel. And they said also unto them, said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And begins to talk about how they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Very interesting words are that the angel said. It's, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? Why are you still here? Your work is just beginning.
Amen.
Amen. It won't help you to stand here and pine for Jesus. His work is finished. Now you got to start yours. But he said, notice this. They said, this same Jesus. Jesus said before he left here, he said, there's going to be many Christs. There's going to be many people who will take on my name. And there's been many people that have claimed to be the Messiah. We've heard of David Koresh and Jim Jones and a bunch of those other men throughout the years. And many what so-called prophets of today's day claim to be Christ or claim to be some kind of prophet. We've had many religions who claim to be the Christ. And later on, there's going to be another one called the Antichrist. Right. But I want you to notice something. They said this same Jesus. What differentiates this Jesus from the rest of them? Is that he's going to come in like manner as you've seen him go.
Amen.
Up into heaven.
Amen.
So if he goes into heaven, it means he's going to come back out of heaven. The Bible talks about when he steps out, he's going to step out on the cloud. The cloud he went up in is the one he's going to come back on.
Right.
Amen. I don't know which cloud this is, but I like to kind of think of it as the Shekinah glory that filled the temple.
Yeah.
The holiness of God in a cloud smoke form. Mm. The thick smoke that filled the temple. But he comes out of heaven. And so Jesus that we're looking for is a heavenly Jesus. He's not going to be here on earth already. So anybody that tells you, hey, here's the Messiah, lo, here's the Christ, there's the Christ, like Jesus said, don't believe him.
Amen.
Because he's going to come back in like manner as he went away. The same Jesus, not another Jesus, the same Jesus. And that's the one I'm looking for. I'm looking for the King that's the genuine article. I'm not looking for a counterfeit. Amen. The devil tries to counterfeit everything that Jesus has done. And he's going to try to counterfeit the Godhead in the form of the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. I begin to think about that, but there's one thing that he cannot counterfeit, and that's when Jesus steps out on the cloud. Amen. And raptures the church out of here and calls us home, and we'll ever be with the Lord when that happens. And the devil can't counterfeit that.
Amen.
That's the genuine article, Brother David.
Yes.
I'm looking for a king. I'm looking for a king that doesn't take. I'm looking for a king that gives.
Yes.
Amen. The ones that the Israelites wanted, Samuel warned them that they would take and take and take. But Jesus is a giver of life. Jesus is a giver of salvation. Amen. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Yes.
I'm looking for a king that has a giving heart.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking for a king that wants to give to his people and his kingdom and doesn't want to bleed and suck them dry of all their resources. I'm glad the king that we'll have is one that loves us, one that adores us, and one that's coming back to claim us as his own. Are you looking for him today?
Yes.
Are you looking for the king?
Yes.
I'll ask everyone that's able and willing to stand. I'll ask somebody to come get a verse of a song. A little invitation. I always like to close with an invitation when the Lord's laid it on my heart. Are you looking for the king today? It's so easy to get our eyes off of the real king and begin to think about the world as it's going on today. Begin to think about all the bad news and all the laws that are being passed and all the sin and the debauchery that this world is trying to pass over God's people and over God and his laws and his ways. we just read, amen, that they're just going to do what they want to do. We have to follow on to look for the King. We have to follow on to obey the King and to trust Him and trust His Word. As they sing this morning, if you have a need, this altar is open. I pray that everybody in here, his heart's right with the Lord, but only you knows that. That's between you and the Lord. And if you aren't looking for the King, or if you've just kind of been slack on looking for Him and having your eyes on this world, Peter made that same mistake. He began to put his eyes on the waves in the sea and begin to sink. You put your eyes on this world and you start to sink. Get it back on Jesus. Say, Lord, help me. Start looking for You, and He'll pull you back up from the waves as they sink.